I just praise him for that. And so did you write all three of those songs? That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, I want to thank you, those of you who came to Ron Pyle's funeral last week. We have just been continuing to just walk with and love on Casey Pyle's as she just goes through this time. And so keep her in your prayers, all right? Also, want to mention we had a great men's breakfast that I did not make. I think this is the first men's breakfast I didn't make, but we had a great men's breakfast on Saturday. A lot of our guys came together. They're going to start working through a book on leadership, and so I want to encourage you guys to be a part of that. If you want to hear more about it, be sure to see Jason Nolte. Raise your hand, Jason. Jump around, Jason. Come on, jump now. And Jim Reber over here. You can hear more about our men's ministry and what they're doing, and we just want to encourage men. There's a lot of, I think that there's a lot of things happening that are working against men, and we need to encourage our guys. Amen to that. And then, yes.
We're going to be sending out a group email on some things we're doing.
Okay. Good. So be sure to get those emails to those guys, all right? Listen, may I ask you a question? We're starting our new series today called Love, Serve, Give, and Bless. How do you measure greatness? How do you measure greatness? Is it measured by money? Is it measured by status? Is it measured by position? Is it measured by the accumulation of things? Is it measured by a person's IQ? Well, according to Jesus, if we are going to truly be great, we have to serve. Because he says that the greatest are the servants in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. And this whole series is going to be sort of being built around this premise. In God's eyes, really, the greatest are those who will serve and give of themselves, who will love, serve, and give, and bless. And these past several weeks, I've just been asking God, Lord, how can we change the world here at Bear Creek? How can this little church make a world impact in the things that we do? And as I was studying some of the teachings of Jesus through the book of Matthew and through the book of John, I just felt like God was leading me to bring this message series for the next 4 weeks. This will be our theme throughout the year, the love, serve, give, and bless. And actually, we have t-shirts, so you can say, I've been there, and I got the... Exactly. So we'll have t-shirts just to kind of remind us of this. But I really want to continue to encourage our people to get outside of themselves and be the hands and feet of Christ in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. Look, you can be a tremendous blessing to people in your workplace, and you can take the hope and the life of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Don't forget that. And today, we're going to take a look at the first of these points, and that is love. As I've studied through this topic on love in the Bible, I'll tell you, I've realized how unloving I can be at times, and I've realized how shallow my love can be as I live out this life that God has blessed me with, and I've learned how conditional my love is at times. And I'll tell you, and I've learned how man's kind of love sort of gets in the way of God's kind of love. And I'm not sure I should even really be preaching this message on love when I've seen how much I fail in this area. The reality is, we all have a lot of growing to do in this area of love, and we should be very careful in our assumptions, assuming that we really know what love is. Let me just say that again. Be careful in your assumptions, because we have a lot of growing to do in this area. When we live in this world and we learn such a tainted view of what love is, and then we come and we encounter the holiness of God and His kind of love, it really changes us. I don't know if there's anything that can change us in a more powerful way than the love of God. And think about it. In John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, God is love. What can a world teach us about love? Well, only God can teach us. So God is He's the standard bearer when it comes to love. He creates the boundaries. The world's standards are changeable. God's love standards are immutable. They're unchangeable. You'll notice that in our world. The morals and the standards of this world change with the shifting of the wind. What is moral today will be immoral tomorrow. What's immoral today will be accepted tomorrow. It's just how our culture is. And that's one of the reasons our world needs the church of Jesus Christ and God's people to rise up and be a light for Christ. And so here's a few more things about love. God's greatest command is for us to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Paul tells us that love is the highest virtue. Do you think love is a big deal? Do you think love is a big deal? So knowing this, we should be sort of on the edge of our seats today, ready to receive and determined to know the kind of love that God brings to us. You know, it's not that we loved Him first. It's that He loved us first. And it's interesting because in Romans 5:8 it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture also says that no greater love than this, than he that would lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than the love we see in Jesus Christ, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's no greater love. And so what we do is we gaze upon Christ, we look at the works and the person of Jesus Christ so we can learn His pure kind of love. Make sense? So turn with me. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've come to know this 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, I just did a wedding last week, and, you know, we're always sharing this passage at weddings. So this has become known as the love chapter. So turn with me to the love chapter. Well, to learn about this a little bit. I want you to understand that in the context of what Paul is saying here, it's important that we understand the context, because sometimes we just grab this passage and we just pull it out and we just apply it to everything. And so we're not going to do that today. He spends three chapters talking about spiritual gifts, chapters 12, 13, and 14. And God has given every believer a spiritual gift. And so let me talk about that for just a second, and then we'll jump back to love. These are special giftings that God has given to every believer, special abilities to be used to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. So it's used to edify the saints, to build up the believers, right? But it's also used to impact our world, to make an impact on our world. And so these are important giftings, and I want to encourage you, if you do not know your spiritual gifts, go searching, because it's very important that we understand the giftings that God has given to us so we can begin to serve and do the things that He has called us to do. We are only here for a little bit of time, and then we're gone. He has put you here for a reason, and He has given you these spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ and be an impact in the world that you live in. And so be sure that you understand your spiritual gifts. And I'll tell you, and it's permanently installed on our website. On the front page of our website, if you go to the bottom, you'll see a spiritual gift survey. You can print that out and come to know. You know, those things are not perfect, but it just helps us know what our spiritual gifts are, and so I want to encourage you to do that. But one of the things that we see as Paul's talking about these spiritual gifts, he gets into chapter 13, and he gives us this one rule in using our spiritual gifts. So he gives us gifts, and then he gives us the rule of using these gifts. And so he goes through this list of gifts. There's speaking gifts, there's the gift of knowledge, there's the gift of faith, there's the gift of giving. And he goes through this list of gifts, and then he gets to chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, and he says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing." I gain nothing. So as a church, one thing we should be known for is our love. Is our love. This is a top priority for every believer. A top priority for every believer. But it's not our kind of love. And it's not the world's kind of love. And the only way to understand this kind of love is to peer into the holiness of God and understand His kind of love. We can't make this up. We can't gain it from the people around us, okay? Because what happens is when we do, when we look out into the world, what we see, the kind of love that the world offers is, you rub my back, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. Kind of this tit for tat, this love that is self-seeking. And so we have such a confused understanding of what it is. But Paul says in Galatians, he says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. So if God is going to give you one command and one rule to follow, and it's like that little saying, you know, you had one task, you know, you had one rule, one command to love. And I want to keep reminding you, it's not your kind of love. It's God's kind of love. Don't try to make it up. Don't try to invent it. Love is to be pursued and displayed by every believer. So what does this mean? Let's look at this passage. If I don't live a life of love, what happens? That's sort of how I approach this first part of chapter 13. If I don't live a life of love, what I say won't matter. What I say won't matter. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, it says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. So if I'm operating and functioning and doing things, right, I'm using my gifts, I'm out there serving, and I'm speaking. Maybe I have a gift of speaking, maybe it's preaching. But if I'm doing this and I'm not doing it in love, it is like a clanging cymbal. Have you ever heard somebody kind of standing on a street corner just railing at people with God's word? Okay? It's a good example of that. You can have all sorts of profound things to say. You can have eloquent speech. But if it is not in love, it is like a clanging cymbal. That's what Paul says here. Well, then he goes on and we find that if I don't live a life of love, what I know won't matter. What I say won't matter and what I know won't matter. Look at verse 2. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but I have not love, what do I have? I have nothing, right? You know, do you know who Ted Kaczynski is, the Unabomber? Anybody remember him? Back in the early, mid-1990s, he was arrested, but from 1978 all the way to 1974, he sent packages in the mail, bombs in the mail, and there were 23 people severely injured, and three people died from these packages. Well, they looked for this man for years, and how they found him was the one of the newspapers posted his manifesto to see if anybody realized it or anybody could read it and maybe pick up some of the writing and maybe know who it is. Well, immediately, Ted Kaczynski's brother picked up the newspaper and said, "That's my brother." He immediately called FBI, and they arrested him in this little cabin in the woods. And it's interesting some of the things that Ted's brother said. He says he's one of the most unloving people I knew. We had to completely disown him. He was so hateful. And he says, I knew that letter because he sent letters like that to me all the time, telling me what I needed to do. And so he became known because what he wrote and the things he said and the things he did was with such hatred, was with such anger. He became known for that anger and hatred, and his brother knew that was him. Here's what's interesting, and this kind of is what relates to this part of it, because if I don't live a life of love, what I know won't matter. Well, here's the deal. Ted Kaczynski had a IQ of 167. Now, to put that into perspective, an IQ of 140 and over is genius level. Once you hit 150 and beyond, you're almost like a savant. He had 167. He graduated from Harvard University. He graduated from high school, went into Harvard University at age 15, got a PhD in his early 20s, and he was the youngest professor to ever teach at University of California, Berkeley. His knowledge was wow, right? But he had not love. Of course, he had not Christ, right? But I want to show you something. It's not knowledge. And if you're not careful, knowledge can puff up and puff you up so high that you will be almost ineffective. And I've seen this in people's homes. I've seen this in marriages. Be careful. If I don't live a life of love, what I know really won't matter, is what Paul is saying. So what I say won't matter. What I know won't matter. Look at verse 2, chapter 13. And if I have all faith, notice he didn't just say faith, he said all faith, right? So as to remove mountains, that kind of faith, the kind of faith that moves mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. But not only what I believe won't matter, what I give won't matter. Look what he says in verse 3. If I gave everything I have to the poor, but I don't have love, it doesn't really matter. Generosity is an act of love. God loves a cheerful giver. One who gives out of love is the kind of person that God is looking for. And when you give, I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of secret motivations that we got to be aware of. In all these things, there's these secret motivations, these sinful motivations, I'll tell you, that sneak in and can trick us into believing we're doing the right thing, but we're not really doing it in God's kind of love. I'm sure you've realized that, right? And I'll tell you, here's what I've learned, and I've shared this before, but it's good to just keep reiterating this. What I've learned is, the more I'm growing in the faith, how I measure that, I measure it by my dependency on God. Okay? So I measure it on how much am I depending on God, all right? Because there's all kinds of people that'll say, I'm Christian, right? We'll get that all the time, all right? Well, let me ask you, how much are you depending on God? Now, if you're growing in Christ, what you're doing is you're growing in your dependency. You're growing in your dependency, okay? Now, you've heard me say this before too. Much prayer, much dependency. Little prayer, little dependency. And so we're praying, we're seeking God and His Word, and we're growing. And as we grow, He begins to shine light on the motivations of our heart, right? And so when we do things like speak, and we do things like express the things that we know, and we do things like act in faith, we'll start to more and more understand the deep motivations of our heart. And God will begin to peel away our selfishness and we'll become closer and closer to Him. And our faith and our walk with Him and our dependency with Him will become more and more genuine. That's what it means to grow in Him. So what I say and what I know and what I believe and what I give will not really matter if they're not done in love. Look at the last one here. And what I accomplish won't matter if it's not done in love. Look what he says in verse 3. At the end of verse 3, it's like verse 3b. If I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. We could be doing incredible kingdom work. We could be doing work for the church if it's not done in love. And I've seen this over time. You know, I've been in church ministry for a long time now, and I've seen people with different motivations in how they serve. And, you know, if it's not done in love, I'll tell you, it's really difficult. It's really difficult. And so what Paul's doing, though, is he's saying, okay, know your spiritual gifts. Here's the list of spiritual gifts. God has given those to you to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. He's given them to you to make an impact on the world, so be sure you know what they are, right? And then he says, you have to do them following this one rule, and that's to love. And you do them through love. You speak through love. You express the things that you know through love, through faith, the way that you give, the accomplishments. You know, we know a company by their trademark, right? And we know people by their birthmark. You know, I've got a birthmark on my elbow right here. And so you can know that's a sign of that person. Well, for the Christian, Tony Evans says, the birthmark of a Christian is love. So when they see the love of Christ in that person, it's an identifying marker that they walk with Christ. Amen? Well, then Paul goes on, because we're just dying to understand this kind of love, right? Because he says, use these gifts, follow this one rule, do it in love, and then he explains what love is. And you know this part. This is the part they recite in weddings, right? Love is patient, verse 4, and kind. How's your patience going? How's your kindness? Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And when he says all things, look, he's talking about truth. He's not talking about just any old thing. It believes in all truth that comes from God, and it bears with it. And to put it simply, God's love is selfless sacrifice. It is an act of service, and it requires nothing in return. One thing about being a pastor is I've watched a lot of people die on their deathbed, and you know, the mundane things of life go out the window when a person's laying in their deathbed, and I never hear a person say, you know, bring me my diplomas. Put them in the wall in this room. I'm about to die. Bring me all my diplomas. I never hear a guy say, you know, bring me my gold watch that I got for working at the Piggly Wiggly for 30 years. I never hear anyone say, you know, Bring me some of the accomplishments and show me some of the accomplishments, or remind me of my accomplishments. What they want to know, what they want to do is they want to gather around them the ones that they love, Jesus, their family, and their friends. They don't want their diplomas. They don't want the gold watch. They want Jesus. They want their family. They want their friends. That is why he says at the end of this passage in verse 13, you have, in the end, you have faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, because love endures. And again, it's not your kind of love, and it's not the world's kind of love, it's God's kind of love. If you want to change the world, you want to have a consistent reflection, If you want to change the world, you want to be a consistent reflection of God's love. Consistent, consistent, consistent. I love Skip Heisek. He's a pastor out of California, and he shares about three types of love. And I won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but he shares the three Greek words, phileo, eros, and agape. Phileo is friendship love. It's where they get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's friendship love. And what he says about phileo is it gives and takes. That's what phileo is. Eros love is more of a sexual attraction kind of love. It just takes. But agape love is God's kind of love, and it just gives and gives and gives and gives. God's love is selfless, it's sacrificial, it's an act of service, it expects nothing in return. John Piper says as he looked at and studied the person of Jesus, here's what he found out about Jesus' kind of love. Jesus' kind of love is willing to pay the highest price for completely undeserving people, to give them the longest and greatest happiness, and it delights in doing it. And so as we look at Jesus and we desire in our hearts to become more like him, we look at him and we see that he was willing to pay the highest price for completely undeserving people, to give them the longest and greatest happiness, and it delights him to do it. So are you learning how to love like Jesus today? Is your love sacrificial? You want to be great? Learn how to love, serve, give, and bless others. Let's pray. Father, we give you the glory today and the honor. We're so blessed to be in your presence. Another day to be alive is another great day. This is a day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for this day, Lord. Help us to be an army of love. to think about other people, to give ourselves towards serving and giving and blessing and loving and continuing to do that over and over again. Help us to be a light for Christ in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
I have just a few announcements I'd like to share with you. Before I do that, I want you to, most of you know I'm the youth pastor here at Bear Creek, and I have to brag on my youth every now and then. I asked Avery Tilly to bring our message to the boys in the children's church this morning, and I want you to know he did a phenomenal job. He did really, really good. And it's encouraging to me, and I want it to be encouraging to you to know there are men and there are women that are being raised up to go out and proclaim who Christ is to other people. And I'm very thankful for him, stepping in and doing that this morning. Want to remind you of a few things. First of all, the Love, Serve, Give, Bless t-shirts, if you ordered one of those, they are actually here. You can actually get those at the Connection Center. And there's a few extras that was bought. If you didn't sign up, they may have your size, so you can check and see if they have that, and you can get those back at the Connection Center. And then immediately following church service this morning, the Joy Luncheon is going to happen. This is for empty nesters, retired folks, anybody that wants to fit in that category. You're more than welcome to stay this afternoon. We're going to have a luncheon here in the sanctuary just following the service here. And then there's a ladies' DIY project this afternoon. You can see Kelly about that. If you've got questions, they'll be here at the church. Then also want to, he's talking about the greatest of these is love, and I want to say this. I just love Bear Creek because of the love that Bear Creek shows here. So if you are considering coming to church here, if you're trying to find a church home, please consider this place because it is a very, very loving place. And if you're considering getting plugged in ministry, trust me, you will not regret it. It is just a joy to be here and to work with the people here at Bear Creek. And then also want to remind you there's a daddy-daughter lunch that's set for February the 9th at noon. There's no age limit of this. We've had, I think last year, our youngest, I think, was three. And then we had adult daughters that was here also. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up for it at the Connection Center. You can also see Lisa Bixler if you've got questions about that. I can answer some of it, but you'll probably be better asking her if you've got questions about that. And then lastly, I want to mention one more thing about Logan Jackson. Now, Logan Jackson is our youth. Well, he just graduated senior this past year that is on a mission trip and currently in South Africa. Now, I can remember whenever I went on mission trips in Africa, one of the hardest things for me was not having Bibles to pass out like I wanted to. In fact, every mission trip I went on there, I never come home with my Bible because I found someone to give it to. And he is struggling with that right now. In fact, his whole team is, because there's so many people there that want a Bible that they don't have one. And so they actually have team members that are giving away their own personal Bibles to the people there in South Africa. So with the help of Darla, which is Logan's mother, we want to try to help the team. So if you would like to contribute some money towards purchasing Bibles that Logan can give out in their local language, they cost about $5. So they're really cheap in the local language. So if you want to give like $20, that's four Bibles that could go to someone that needs it desperately in South Africa. So if you would like to contribute that, you can see Darla, you can see myself, and we can try to help get God's word out to the people in South Africa. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing for us to be able to do. And so I hope that you take advantage of that. I think that's all the announcements I have. I had a bunch of them this morning. But let's stand and I'll close this in prayer.